Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
In the record, Dr. Randall is president of his attorney, deputy vice president on behalf of the state. We both are attending to the presence of our jury.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes. All right, state, we call your next witness.
State will call Deirdre Marley to stand.
Okay.
My name is Deirdre Marley, hyphen Johnson, DEIDRAMARLEY, hyphen JOHNSON.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Deirdre. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
Do you know someone by the name of Sharon Randall?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you remember when you first met Sharon?
Yes, I do.
Tell us.
There is a senior living community named Las Ventanas, and it's on West Charleston and Town Center. Sharon was hired at Las Ventanas to work in the beauty shop as the hairdresser. I was hired at Las Ventanas to work as the manicurist, and that is how I met Sharon.
Around what year did you start working at Las Ventanas?
It was as soon as it was built, and I would say that would be around the year 2000.
Okay. So you knew her for about 8 years up to the point of when she passed away?
Yes.
Do you know someone by the name of Thomas Randolph?
Yes.
Have you met Thomas Randolph before?
I have spoken to Thomas Randolph on the telephone.
Okay.
I have seen pictures of Thomas Randolph.
Okay. Do you see Thomas here in the courtroom today?
Yes, I do.
Could you point out where he is and describe maybe an article of clothing that he's wearing?
Yes. He is sitting at the desk with a white shirt on, white hair, and black headset.
Okay, let the record reflect the witnesses identify the defendant. At some point, do you learn that Sharon and the defendant are beginning to date?
Yes.
What's your understanding of exactly how they met?
On the internet.
So when you heard that, did you have some advice for Sharon?
I did.
Please tell us what your advice was.
I told her that I had bad feelings. I could not explain them, but I had very bad feelings and that she should not get involved.
Does she listen to your advice at that time?
No, she did not.
And was this around the summer of 2005, ballpark?
I would say that's about right.
Okay. Does it come to your attention that there's a possibility that the defendant may move to Las Vegas?
Yes.
When you heard that information, did you have advice for Sharon?
Yes, I did.
Please tell this jury what advice you gave Sharon.
I advised Sharon that I thought it was a very bad idea to have Thomas Randolph move to Las Vegas.
And just to be clear, is this time period, is this within a relatively quick time period or long time period? This decision to maybe move in from Utah to Las Vegas.
They had dated for a while. Thomas Randolph had come on weekends to visit.
Okay.
And then Sharon told me that he was going to move in.
Okay. And then that's when you gave the advice.
Yes.
And I can't remember if I asked you, but did she follow your advice?
No, she did not.
All right. What do you remember at the beginning of the relationship when you could observe and talk to Sharon? Like, how did she feel about dating Tom in the beginning?
Sharon was happy. She was excited. She had that new relationship glow. She was giddy. She was happy.
All right. Do you recall them doing things in the beginning of their relationship?
Yes.
What sort of things do you remember them doing kind of as a couple?
They would go out for dinner. I guess they would go out for dinner. I know that they would go back and forth to Utah to visit Mr. Randolph's parents.
Okay. Do you remember them ever taking trips to places like San Diego?
I do recall them taking a trip to San Diego.
Ultimately, do you come to learn that there's a possibility that the defendant may literally move into the house? Sharon's house.
Yes, he moved into her house.
Okay, and do you give her advice regarding that decision?
Yes, I did.
And what was your advice to her at that point?
I told her that I thought it was a bad idea.
All right. You mentioned that you worked with Sharon at the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. And Sharon's the hairdresser and you're the manicurist.
Yes.
Is that like an assisted, is that like a retirement community?
Yes, it's a high-end retirement community.
Okay. When you worked there, was there a receptionist at the hair salon?
No, there was not.
Was there a business phone, though, at that hair salon?
There was a business phone in the office, yes.
Once Sharon started dating Tom, do you recall anything about that phone in the hair salon that stood out in your mind?
It was after Thomas Randolph had moved in. He would continually call. He called multiple times during the day to speak to Sharon. I would answer the phone.
Because you didn't have a receptionist.
We did not have a receptionist.
On average, what are we talking about here? About how many times a day?
A minimum of 15 times a day.
Would you take the time to explain to the defendant that maybe Sharon's busy working and she can't come to the phone, things like that?
There were a few times when I would tell him that she was working.
Do you ever remember any other phones ringing?
Yes.
Okay, what phones would also ring?
Her cell phone.
Okay. And then similar things would happen, just letting him know, hey, we can't talk, we're working.
Yes.
Based on your understanding, did Tom Randolph have a job that you were aware of?
No.
I want to ask you a little bit about Sharon's mood and demeanor as this relationship continues. You previously mentioned that she was giddy at the beginning, right?
Yes.
Do you start to see that change?
Yes, I did.
What do you start seeing? What are the differences you start to see in Sharon?
I started to see Sharon become unhappy. She wasn't giddy any longer. She was unhappy. She was trying to work, and he kept calling, and she would be frustrated, and she just wasn't happy.
Okay. At some point, do you learn of a potential decision about whether or not to marry Mr. Randolph?
Yes, okay. I do.
Was there a potential consequence that came with potentially not marrying Mr. Randolph?
Yes.
Okay.
He told her that if she did not marry him, he would leave her.
Okay. Do you give her a piece of advice?
I did.
Did you recommend that she legally marry Mr. Randolph?
No. Well, I told her that she should go to Mexico with Mr. Randolph and have a mock wedding,
okay,
that it would not be legal within the United States.
Okay. So that's the advice you gave her?
That is the advice I gave her.
Did you think it would be a good idea to legally marry Mr. Randall?
No, I did not.
As the months continue, let me rephrase. Do you become aware of them maybe going off to Mexico to do this ceremony?
I knew that they had gone to Mexico.
Okay. Does Sharon continue to work at Las Ventanas leading up to the point of when she passes away, or does that change?
Sharon worked at Las Ventanas for a considerable amount of time. She had had eye surgery also, and she said that her eye was bothering her, but she was under the constant pressure of Thomas Randolph calling her multiple times a day and harassing her.
Okay.
The objection is harassing her.
That objection will be sustained.
So ultimately, she leaves Las Ventanas, is that right?
Yes.
Before she leaves, I want to focus on a specific event. Was there a time that she came into work that you noticed something on her body that gave you concern?
Judge, if I could just get a foundation.
If we could just approach on this.
Sure.
Was there a time when she came into work that you noticed something about her body that actually concerned you?
Yes.
All right. When around what year was that? Do you remember?
I would say it was probably 1 year after she had married Thomas Randolph.
Okay.
2004, 2005, maybe.
Okay, so it's pretty early on, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and let's just be clear. Do you, in terms of dates, because I know this is like 15 years ago, does her being married stand out in your mind as being, I saw it after she was married?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
You said 2000, and I'm just for clarity's sake, you said 2005, but you also said it was after she's married. And there's been some information that maybe the marriage doesn't actually happen in 2005. So the thing I'm trying to get out of you is the fact that she is married to Tom one of the things that you remember? Like, it's after her getting married to Tom that you notice this?
Yes.
Okay, so if her marriage is, let's say, in 2007, it would be post-2007.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, what do you notice on Sharon that catches your eye?
I noticed her body language. She was moving very slowly and sore. She was sore.
Okay. Did you see any bruises on her body?
Yes, I did.
Do you ask her, how did you get those?
Yes, I did.
And what did she say?
She said it was a boating accident.
Okay. Who was on the boat?
Her and Tommy Randolph.
And what did she say happened?
She said that Tommy was driving the boat very fast across Lake Mead. And he made a sudden sharp U-turn. And she was standing in the boat and she fell.
Okay. When you heard this, how did you feel when you heard this?
I was alarmed.
Do you say anything to Sharon after learning that?
Yes, I did.
What do you tell Sharon?
I said, Sharon, I think he's trying to kill you.
Do you give her any other additional advice?
Yes, I did.
What other advice did you give her?
I said, whatever you do, do not accept any beverages or food from him.
Okay. What's her response to that advice? What does she say to you?
She looked at me and she seemed a little surprised. She said, do you really think he's trying to kill me?
And what did you respond with?
I said, yes.
I want to turn your attention to about a week before Sharon passes away.
Yes.
Do you receive a phone call from someone?
Yes, I do.
And who do you receive a phone call from?
Sharon.
You've obviously talked to Sharon many times in your life. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Please describe for this jury, what did her voice sound like on the other end of that phone?
She was shaken. She sounded scared. And she sounded afraid.
Did you believe that she was depressed at that point?
Yes.
What does she say to you?
Judge,
can we approach?
I've already decided this issue. She can answer
okay.
the question.
What did she say to you?
She told me she needed to get a divorce.
And so how do you respond?
I happen to be the vice president on the board of the mediators of Southern Nevada.
Okay.
I said, okay, Sharon. I said, I'll help you get a divorce.
All right. Did you think it was going to be, well, at this time, did you think she was legally married?
I did not.
Why is that?
Because I had told her not to get legally married.
So you thought it was just the Mexico thing?
I thought it was just the mock wedding.
Okay, did you say that to her, something like, hey, that shouldn't be too difficult. I mean, you didn't technically marry him, something like that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Does she correct you and correct your misunderstanding at that point?
I had told Sharon, I says, well, it wouldn't be difficult to get divorced because you never married Tommy.
And then she says what?
And she said, yes, I did, Deidre. Talk to me into getting married.
So do you start to give her advice at this point from what you could help her do legally to get a divorce?
Yes, I did.
So what sort of advice did you offer or help did you offer?
She had told me she had no money, that her money was gone, that they had gone through all of her money. And I said, okay. I said, that won't be a problem. I said, I do know attorneys. I know paralegals. Or I will be glad to go down to the self-help center with you at Legal Aid, and we will draw up divorce papers.
Okay. Does she talk about the house at all?
I asked Sharon what she had Tommy's name on.
Okay, and what did she tell you?
And she told me that she had his name on the house, but she had taken it off.
I would object to that, as you were saying, just for the record.
Okay, just for the record, the court has previously ruled, ma'am, you can answer the question.
Go ahead. You can keep it. Were you done? I don't know if you finished your answer.
Oh. She told me that she had his name on the house, but she took it off.
Okay. Understood. Does she mention life insurance during this conversation?
Yes.
What did she say about that?
I said, what else are you involved with as far as Tommy is concerned? And she said, he does have a life insurance policy on me.
When you heard that, did that generate a reaction out of you? When you heard that, what were your feelings at that point?
I told Sharon, I said, Sharon, this is a red flag to me. I said, now I'm worried for you.
What did you ask her to do?
I asked her to come and stay with me.
Okay. What else did you tell her?
I told her that I was worried for her and that I wanted her to come and stay with me because I wanted her to be safe.
And how did she respond to that offer?
She said, I know, Deidre, and she sounded worried, but she said, I want to be in my home.
So what do you say to her at that point?
I said to Sharon, I can't force you to come and stay with me. I said, however, I would like you to. I said, but please, whatever you do, do not accept any beverages, food, or turn your back on Tommy. I don't trust him. I'm worried for you.
I want to turn your attention to May 8th, 2008, just a week after this conversation. Were you planning that evening to make a phone call?
Yes.
Who were you planning to call?
I was planning to call Sharon.
Did you pick up the phone in one hand?
I had my phone in my hand.
What did you have in your other hand?
To call Sharon.
What did you have in your other hand?
My other hand was the remote control to my television.
Which one did you decide to use first?
I clicked the television on first.
And what did you see?
I saw a segment on the news.
And what was it about?
About a husband and wife coming home from dinner. And the handyman had invaded the house. The wife entered the house first.
The handyman. This is not news that she's getting it from. This is news. And so this is clearly hearsay.
Well, it's just how she learned of it.
This is hearsay, Mr. Hurley. That's another question.
Okay. Do you learn of Sharon, what happens to Sharon on May 8th, 2008?
Yes, she was murdered.
Okay, I understand. I have no further questions for this witness.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. You didn't like Thomas Randall, fair to say?
I didn't like him.
And you didn't like him from the very beginning. Is that a fair statement?
From the very beginning.
You have told the jury that you warned Sharon not to be with Thomas Randolph, right?
I did.
And she ignored you, didn't she? And she was with Thomas Randolph. Fair?
Love has a scent.
Okay. You told her not to be with Thomas Randolph, and she ignored you, and she was with Thomas Randolph.
She Fair? Was.
Okay. You told us that that at some point you finally realized she's legally married, right?
Yes, she told me she was.
And she hadn't told you she'd gotten married, had she?
No, she never did tell me until she wanted to get her divorce.
So it's fair to say that Sharon got married to Tommy and didn't even tell you she was married, right?
I was no longer working with Sharon.
So it's fair to say that Sharon got married and didn't even tell you she was married to Tom Sarandon?
No, because she wasn't working with me.
So the answer is yes, she did not tell me.
She did not tell me.
Now you say she wasn't working with you. When did she stop working with you?
It was after she married Thomas Randolph.
Are you sure it wasn't in 2006? After the...
I cannot give you an exact date.
Because you're struggling a little bit with dates, aren't you?
I am struggling with it.
With some of the dates. Do you remember you told us about this boating incident, and you described it at first to the jury as 2005? Do you remember saying that?
I did.
Do you remember saying that?
It's been a long time.
Okay. So what I'm asking you, I'm not quarreling with you. I'm just saying you told the jury the boating incident was in 2005, right?
Yeah, whatever. I do not have the exact dates.
And you didn't even know that they were legally married, so you don't know when they were legally married, right? Is that fair?
So, I'm sorry, but...
Sharon didn't tell you, oh, I'm getting married tomorrow, it's going to be wonderful, you should come. Nothing like that. You didn't know about the marriage.
No, she did not tell me that.
And you know she stopped working with you at some point, right?
Yes.
You'd warned Sharon, don't marry this man, because you didn't like him, right?
I warned her against marrying him.
And when she told you she'd actually married him, you told her you were unhappy about it, right?
I didn't tell her I was unhappy about it.
You did not say that you were unhappy about the marriage?
No, I did not.
Did the police actually come and speak with you?
The police did not come and speak with me.
In fact, the only time you talk to law enforcement is over the phone. Is that a fair statement?
Correct.
They never take a recorded statement from you, right?
No.
Okay. And you can tell us that you did not tell the police that when you found out that Sharon was married, that you told her that you were unhappy with her. That's not something you told the police.
I never told the police that.
Okay. And you told Sharon, when you did find out she was married, you told her you thought she should get a divorce, right?
No, I did not.
You did not tell her about to go get a divorce and how to do it?
No, I did not.
Did you give her advice on how to get a divorce?
When she called me, I told her I would help her.
Okay, so you gave her advice on how to get a divorce.
I told her that I would contact attorneys, paralegals, or help her get her divorce.
You told the jury that you said to Sharon, you should come stay with me.
Yes, I did.
And she didn't come, did she?
She did not come and stay with me.
She stayed with Tommy.
She stayed in her house.
Well, now that conversation you had a week before the incident, do you remember you said that you got a call from Sharon about a week before the incident?
Yes.
Where was she? Do you know?
I don't know where she was at. She called me. I was in my vehicle on my way home from a board meeting.
So do you know where she was at?
I do not know where she was at. I did not ask her where she was at.
Okay. Had she been traveling with Tommy in the, let's say, week or weeks before the...
That I cannot tell you.
Were they planning to go in the days after the incident? Were they planning to go on a trip anywhere, or do you not know?
I don't know.
Were they planning to celebrate Mother's Day anywhere, or are you...
Not that I'm aware of.
Because that's not really... I mean, it's fair to say that from the understanding you had of Sharon, that Sharon wouldn't be going out with Tommy in the days before the incident, right? Because she was upset.
When Sharon and I worked together, we talked. After Sharon quit working, she would come in and visit every now and then.
So is it fair to say... Do you mind if I call you Deidre? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Deidre... Is it fair to say that you were close with Sharon when you worked together, right?
We were close.
Hey, you're working together all day long, 8 hours a day, get to chat, water
yes.
cooler kind of thing. Fair? Right.
Yes.
And at some point, you lose that closeness because she stops working with you. You're not colleagues anymore.
She was home.
Okay. And so she was home with Tommy and not with you 8 hours a day anymore. Fair?
She was with Tommy.
And so it's fair to say that in the weeks, months leading up to this incident, you weren't as close. You didn't really know what was going on in her life. Fair?
It's not that I wasn't as close, because I always cared about Sharon. But she had a life to live.
Okay. And it's clear.
And I was working.
And it's clear you cared about your friend, right? You cared about your friend, right?
I cared about Sharon.
And you were upset, obviously, that your friend had been murdered, right? Obviously. It upset you.
I'm sorry.
You were very upset when you learned your friend had been murdered. Is that a fair statement?
I was extremely upset.
And it's fair to say that you were discussing for a second without talking about anything, said you heard news accounts, right? You said you heard news accounts.
I saw the segment on the news.
And it's fair to say that your friend deserves justice, correct?
I believe she does.
And you would like to make sure you can do whatever it is you could do to get that for her.
Very much.
Last sort of area. You told us today that you learned or you talked to Sharon about life insurance, right?
Sharon told me that Tommy had a life insurance policy on her.
Did she say that she'd gotten her life insurance policy for herself? In other words, did Sharon say, I got a life insurance?
She did not tell me that.
It was sort of something maybe Tommy had gone and done secretly, and she found out.
I have no clue if it was secret or not.
Objection.
You got this testimony. I'll ask another question. Did you tell the police that you had actually heard something about life insurance on Sharon, but you couldn't recall where or from whom you'd heard it? Do you remember telling the police that?
I told the police that Sharon told me that Tommy had a life insurance policy on her.
You told a police officer that?
Yes, I did.
Who was that police officer?
I called a criminologist.
No. Listen to my question, okay? Who was this police officer that you...
Just 1 second, Mr. Weaver.
Can we just approach briefly?
Did you ever talk to a Detective O'Kelly? Does that name ring a bell?
Or no? Yes.
Did you tell Detective O'Kelly that you had only heard about life insurance and recently heard that, but you didn't say it was from Sharon? Do you understand the distinction I'm saying?
I told Detective O'Kelly that Sharon had told me that Tommy had a life insurance policy on her.
Where's the torches? Your Honor, that concludes cross-examination.
Were you direct, Mr. Mayor? No,
Your Honor.
Do the ladies and gentlemen of the jury have any questions for this witness? Okay, seeing no response, ma'am, you are excused. Thank you very much for your testimony here today.
Thank you, Your Honor. Tony Bean.
State will call Victoria Kinnecker.
Testimony about to give in this action. Tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God.
Yes.
Thank you. Please be seated. You can state your name for the record, please.
Victoria Kamenker.
My last name, K-I-M-E-N-K-E-R.
Stay whenever you're ready.
Thank you very much. Victoria, how long have you lived in Las Vegas?
Since I was 21. I was born in Boulder City, raised in Henderson, and working through Vegas all the time. I just ended up coming and staying in Vegas, living with my niece.
Did you know someone by the name of Sharon Randolph, or Sharon Koss, I guess, back in the day?
Yes.
When did you meet Sharon?
In 1975, I just came back from living in Washington, and she was working at the Liberace Plaza. So it's the end of 75. I used to go to a hairdresser there, and she was working under him. She was the shampoo girl.
Okay.
That's the first time I met her. And after a couple of times of going there, I started interacting with her and finding out where she lived and just talking to her, but, you know, just making friends.
So you knew her for 30 years?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you start becoming friends even back then and over the decades. Would that be correct?
Right.
You were, I'm sure you were friends with her during when she was married to Philippe. Would that be fair? Did you do a lot of social things her over the decades?
Yes. Did a lot of things. Camping. She came over for, her and Philippe would be over our house for the holidays with our family and my husband's family. We would always socialize, doing a lot of things.
Okay. Obviously, there's a time where Philippe passes away. Do you come to learn of the fact that Sharon, let's do this. Is there a time, scratch all that. Oh, that was terrible. I apologize. Do you know someone by the name of Thomas Randolph?
Yes.
Do you see Thomas Randolph sitting here in the courtroom right now?
Yes.
Could you please point out where he is and maybe describe an article of clothing that he's wearing?
White shirt, headphones on his head.
Okay, let the record reflect the witnesses identified Mr. Randolph. Do you remember where you were the first time you saw the defendant?
Yes.
Where is that?
Me and my husband were going shopping at Mervyn's.
Okay.
And I used to work for Mervyn's. So it was a couple of years or so later when I didn't work for him anywhere. We just went in there to go shopping. And as we were walking around, I happened to look up, and I used to work in fine jewelry. So we looked up and I saw Sharon. And I told my husband, oh my God, there's Sharon. So we walked over to her, and they were both like looking on the counter, and they were looking at a bunch of rings. And so I said, Sharon, and she turns around and she looks at me. And I think she was a little surprised that, you know, we were there. And so I said, what are you doing? And she says, well, we're looking at rings because we're going to get married.
Right.
So I said, okay.
When you heard that, did you have a reaction to that?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked.
When you went up and introduced yourself to Sharon, what was Tom Randolph doing?
He was looking down, looking at the rings. Sharon proceeded to, he turned around and she said, these are my friends, Vicky and Dale. And he turned around like this and then turned around, you know, no hi, nothing. Just left it at that.
Okay. Did you find that interaction? How did you find that particular interaction?
Kind of rude.
Objection, Robbins.
It's just the description of the interaction, but I can move on, whatever you want. Okay. Does Mr. Randolph spend any time introducing or talking to you during this time at Mervyn's?
No.
Does he shake your hand?
Nope.
How about your husband's?
Nope.
Okay. When you learned of this, that she was off to go get married, were you concerned?
Kind of.
Did you say anything to her about it?
I just said something to her in the way of, what are you doing? And she looked at me and said, you just don't want to see me happy.
Okay.
That was it. We turned around and we walked away.
Do you... She started off as a shampoo girl. What does she start to do as an adult? And I mean, by she, I mean Sharon. What does she start to do later in life? Because you said she was kind of a shampoo person to start, right? She becomes what?
Well, she left that place and went and found her own position in another salon. And right after that, when she did that, I started going to her.
And not just to do shampoo, but she was a hairdresser.
Right, she was a hairdresser.
So. That was what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Do you continue to get your hair cut from Sharon?
Yes.
All right. Were there any times that you went over and had your hair done over at her house?
Yes. A couple of times.
Okay. Have you ever heard the name Michael Miller before?
No.
Okay. Do you remember ever going over there seeing a handyman over at the house?
Just that one day when I went over there and she was going to do my hair and they were watching the movie.
Who's they?
Huh?
Who is they?
I'm sorry. Okay. Sharon Randolph and Miller. And she wanted me to wait for me to do my hair. And I said, I really don't want it. And she goes, just until we watch this movie. So she made me go sit on the love seat where that Miller guy was and introduced me to him.
During the time that you were there, did you see Mr. Miller and Mr. Randolph engaging in any home improvement projects?
Yes.
Okay. What were they doing?
After the movie was over, they went outside to look up at the lattice that was, I guess, falling apart. And I remember they grabbed a ladder and I saw Mr. Randolph climbing up on the ladder. And
Randolph?
Yeah. Randolph. And I said to Sharon, well, if he's got such a bad back, why is he climbing the ladder?
Okay.
Okay,
so that's kind of the extent of what you saw. He climbed up on a ladder. All right.
No, I'm sorry, Mayor. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Were there other times that you went over to Sharon's house to get your hair done?
Yes.
And in addition to that, did you ever go over socially, or was it typically just to do hair?
No. I went over there one time. It was just like probably a month, maybe 2 months after they had gotten married. I went over there, and me and Sharon were in the living room, and I was talking to her, and Thomas Randolph came out of the bedroom, and he walked over there to where Sharon was sitting, and he was sitting on the edge of the chair, and he was hugging her and saying, like, this is my love, or I love her, or whatever. And I just kind of looked at him, and then he got up, and I was questioning him. I said, do you work, or whatever? And he said, like, he's trying to find something. And I said, well, I work for the school district. And he says, well, I'm trying to find something, you know, as a substitute teacher or whatever.
Okay.
And then that was it. And then he got up and walked back in the room.
Would he typically, when you went over there, would he typically interact with you guys? Would he typically stay in his room? What would he typically do?
No. When me and my husband were out there, I didn't remember the time, but we were out there and we were out in the back patio, and that's when Sharon was asking my husband about the lattice on top because it was falling apart, and being my husband, it's been in construction for a long time, was telling him, and he never once came out. He poked his head through the door.
Okay, so you just gave a ton of information there. So there is a time where you and your husband, Dale, go over to the house. Is that
yes.
right? And there is a conversation about how to fix that roof lattice area, right? How long has your husband been in construction?
About 23 years.
I don't know what relevance this is, and I don't know
what relevant council approach.
Well, sure. Okay. I want to turn your attention to about 1 week before Sharon is killed. Do you have a conversation with Sharon Randolph?
Yes.
Is it in person or over the phone? What do you remember?
The day that I was over to her house when she did my hair.
1 week before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You're in person with her.
Yes.
I want you to describe to this jury, what is her demeanor like?
She's quiet. Didn't really want to talk much. I'd ask her questions, and She'd answer, but she was pretty abrupt.
Does she start to cry at some point?
When she told me that she wanted a divorce.
And what else does she say?
She said that she wanted a divorce, and I was kind of in a shock. And she says, but I don't have anywhere to go. And I said, well, you can come live with me and Dale.
You know, so you offer that to her?
Yes.
Did you indicate she could stay as long as she wanted?
Yes.
Ultimately, does Sharon ever take you up on that offer?
No, because after that, she went to Utah. They were traveling to Utah. And I said, I'll talk to you when you come back. And it was like not long after that that I found out that, you know, that she had died.
Thank you. I have no further questions for this witness.
Ross?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Start with something you said. You said there was this incident that happened over at the house, and Tommy had gone up to Sharon. He was hugging her. And did he turn to you and say, I love this woman, or she's my love, or something like mm-hmm. that? Is that a yes?
Yes.
Like really affectionate kind of thing?
Yeah. I just thought it was just a big put on.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
No.
Him saying he loved his wife and hugging her, it was something that
right.
you thought, yeah, I don't really like this.
Right.
Right? Okay. You have a husband, his name is Dale?
Dale.
And there was a while when you and your husband didn't really talk to Sharon.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
Because Dale had been unhappy.
No, we were...
Oh, just 1 second. Objection.
We can approach.
Yes, please.
Court's indulgence. You and your husband were a little upset about what had happened with Philippe, correct?
Right.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
And so there was approximately an 8-year time period where you don't talk to Sharon.
Right.
Okay. So if you could give us sort of that time frame, just so the jury could understand, when you say the 8 years that you're not talking to Sharon, when are those years? Does my question make sense?
Yeah. In the house that we were living in, we had bought some property to move in and build a house.
Do you know the dates in which you weren't talking to Sharon? Can you just give us those dates?
Oh, gosh. 95. I would say anywhere between 92 to 95 or 96 or 97 are those through those years right there that we weren't talking with her.
Wasn't it after the death of Philippe?
After the death of Philippe?
Yes, no. After. So you were not talking to her during the time she was married to Philippe?
We were talking. So far back, I'm trying to remember. We didn't have anything with them for 8 years. It was after we moved out of our house in the year 2000. We moved into another house. That's when we started talking, when I started talking with Sharon again.
Okay. I'll see if I can get a better foundation. Did you stop talking to Sharon Did the relationship sort of fizzle out for that 8-year period because of the way Dale and you thought that Sharon had treated Philippe?
No. That had nothing to do with the way Sharon was treating Philippe. That had nothing to do with it.
What was it that caused...
Dale and Sharon kind of got into a misunderstanding, and Dale had asked her to leave.
Did you give an interview to the police?
To the detective, yes. Yes.
They recorded it. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you recall saying that Dell had a problem because he didn't like the way that Sharon had treated Philippe?
I don't remember.
If I showed you a copy of your statement to the police and what you said, would that help refresh your memory?
Please.
Okay. Page 14, counsel. Can I approach you on it?
Yes.
About middle of the page, counsel. Or just read it to yourself and let me know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Does that refresh your memory?
Yeah.
So one of the difficulties, at least that you're explaining to the police, is your husband's opinion of how Sharon treated Philippe. Is that right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
And is that what caused the rift between you guys?
That wasn't what caused the rift between Sharon and Dale. No, that was not.
It was not?
No.
Okay. There came a point in time when you said that you were over at the house, over at Sharon's house, right, and Mike Miller was on, did you call it a love seat, on the love seat,
yeah,
watching a movie?
Yes.
And was Sharon watching the movie?
Yes.
And was Tommy watching the movie?
Yes.
And did you watch the movie?
Yes.
So all four of you watched the movie together. Is that a yes?
Yes, I'm sorry.
And is that the only time you saw Michael Miller?
Yes.
And do you also remember telling the police, remember you were talking about how Tommy went up on the ladder? Is that a yes?
Yes.
And that Michael Miller was holding the ladder?
I remember him standing next to the ladder. I don't remember him holding the ladder.
Okay, do you... You remember him standing next to the ladder?
Yes.
Do you remember telling the police he was holding the ladder? No, you're not sure. No. Page 16, counsel. Court's indulgence. I'm sorry. 26. If I showed you a copy of what you told the police about Tommy on the ladder and that Mike was holding the ladder, do you think that would refresh your memory?
I don't know. I mean, I can look at it and see, but I don't recall because it's been so far back.
Okay. So let me just do it this way. You remember this incident, Tommy's going up a ladder.
Right.
Up towards the roof.
Right.
And after this movie, is it before or after the movie that Mike Miller is out there and he's...
It's after the movie.
Okay. So then they're doing something up, yes, up on the roof. The incident that you described where you hadn't seen Sharon in a while and you walked into a store with your husband, right? Do you remember when this was? Like a date. And when I say a date, I don't mean September 15th. I mean like a year.
Oh, geez. No, I don't even remember the year.
Do you remember the store?
Pardon me? The store is Mervyn's?
And you saw Sharon and Tommy looking at rings?
Yes.
Like women's rings. Do you know if it was for a woman or a man, or you don't know?
No, they were just looking at wedding rings. I am.
Okay. And Sharon told you, you asked Sharon what she was doing, right?
Right.
You really hadn't seen her in a while, had you?
Nope. I'm sorry, no, I didn't.
Was that during that sort of 8-year period?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not talking with Sharon, and you go into the Mervyn's, and you see Mr. Randolph, you see Tommy, and Sharon looking at these rings, looking
right.
at these, right?
Right.
And she tells you what she was doing, right? We're looking at wedding rings.
Right.
And you tell her you essentially disagree with this, right? You're not happy about it.
No.
Okay. And she responds, if I heard you correctly, you just don't want to see me happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said to you.
That's what she said to me.
So if I understand you right, you hadn't really been close with her during that time period, right?
Right.
And now you're approaching her. She's looking at rings with Tommy.
Right. Right.
And this exchange happens.
Right.
And she continues to look at rings.
Yes.
And he doesn't seem to be very receptive to you or your
No.
husband. And neither does she.
No.
And that bothered you.
Bothered him. He just walked away.
Do you remember describing that you knew that they, Tommy and Sharon, were having a little bit of a dispute about Tommy wanting to have the grandkids come live with them?
I don't know anything about that.
You don't know anything about that?
No.
Can you approach?
Yes.
Okay, so when we left off, I'd asked you about whether there was some dispute between Sharon and Tommy regarding Tommy wanting his three grandchildren, to come live with them in Vegas.
You said you don't remember saying that to the police.
I don't recall any of that.
Okay, that's fine. It's been a long time. Okay. Counsel, page 17.
Commissioner
Crowe. Yes. Okay, I'm just going to show you this portion. I have highlighted. You just read that to yourself and let me know when you're done. And you can read up if you want to.
I don't recall any of that.
I have just shown you a copy of a transcript of your interview.
Okay.
Okay. And you realize those were your words you were reading, right?
Like I said, it was so long ago that I don't even recall. But if it's on paper, then it must have been when the detective was, you know, asking me the questions.
Right. And did you see that you were talking about a dispute about Tommy wanting his three grandkids to come? Is that what you read on the paper?
Yeah. But I don't recall. I don't remember.
You don't dispute this transcript, do you?
It was just so long ago. I don't recall it.
Okay. Do you recall telling the police in that same transcript that Sharon was never going to let Tommy leave her?
Was never going to let Tommy leave?
Yes, that she wanted to keep him, and that she wasn't going to leave him. Do you remember saying that to the police?
I don't know how I said that, because I didn't really know the man, so I... No, I don't remember.
If I showed you a copy of your transcript, would it...
It's probably there, but I said, like I said, I don't recall. It's been so long ago, I could have... If it's on the transcript, that's probably, I said it then.
It's page 24. Courts and torches. without saying what anybody said, did you have a conversation with your daughter about Sharon? About their sex life? About Tommy and Sharon's sex life? Did you have a conversation without saying what was said? Did you have a conversation with your daughter about Tommy and Sharon's sex life?
You mean recently?
No.
Oh, back then?
Yes. Do you recall telling?
I don't know. I don't recall any of that.
Objection.
She doesn't recall. Move on, Mr. Holmes.
Okay. Lastly, you said that Mike was a quiet person, didn't talk. Is that right?
Yes.
How many times did you see him over at that house?
One time.
Just the movie time?
Just the movie time.
And how long do you think you interacted with him over at the house? And when I say interacted, how long do you think you were over there?
I was over there for close to an hour.
Okay. Course indulgence. That concludes cross-examination.
No further questions.
Do the ladies and gentlemen of the jury have any questions for this witness? Okay, seeing no response, ma'am, you'll excuse. Thank you very much for your testimony here today.
Thank you.
This time we are going to take our night recess to ensure that both of the parties have an adequate opportunity to ask questions of the next witness. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors and anybody regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read, watch, listen, news, or media accounts or talk to you about things. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionaries, using the internet, or using workers' care. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate the evidence of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. And you must not form or trust any opinion regarding this case or that we are all back together. We will be back together in this room Monday morning at 10:30. When you guys get here Monday morning at 10:30, if you could wait outside, and the marshal will come get you as soon as we're ready.
Please rise for the jurors.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.